بيت او جسم انت باني جاني everyone. This professor Alvin Rao, professor emeritus, California State University African Studies Department, and former retired professor from Compton Community College, as well as former city councilman, Compton College Board of Trustees, and Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, along with my historian and outstanding activist, Brother Joe Hemrick, as we co-host the Conscious Corner. We want to welcome all the people. Joe Hemrick, a longtime educator, administrator for Linwood Unified School District, Compton Unified School District, as well as the first Black coach for head football coach for Linwood Unified School District, as well as one of the most profound historians who said he got most of his training and knowledge from Essawan's bookstore, Black bookstore in the Merck Park, and other libraries. So, the creator of the mural of unity at Centennial High School, of Black and Brown people coming together. So we appreciate Brother Hemrick as our co-host, and we want to welcome Brother Mashinda, longtime activist out of Louisiana, and working with those young people in the education system, and we want to welcome him. It's so much going on in the South. We want to welcome Brother Jay Edwards, spiritual leader and activist at the same time with regards to working with young people, trying to get them to see themselves in a better light and at the same time spreading the gospel. We want to welcome Brother Doctor, also the good doctor, as we call him, one of the most wisest brothers we know, very holding everybody accountable. That's his thing. He holds people accountable and make their and ask them to substantiate and prove what they say with facts and statistics, as well as the key to this program, who is over the Community Education Network and provides us this platform, Brother Rasha Key Maskani, at the same time as a scholar, math teacher for Centennial Unified School District, longtime basketball star for Longwood State, as well as an outstanding activist and making a contribution to the forward flow of Black consciousness and liberation with this platform of the CEN Community Education Network platform. But we want to get started by, first of all, we were supposed
Professor
to
Ross.
Yes.
Excuse me, Linda just came.
Okay, Sister Linda.
Yes, thank you.
There's so much we can say about Sister Linda and her contribution. As a matter of fact, one of the art, she's going to have a virtual book authors of book writers conference in the near future, as well as she is well known for working with the Black newspaper in Long Beach and a Black Cultural Center in Long Beach. She's now residing in Florida, where all the struggle is going on, which we're going to get to. We want to welcome Brother Sister Linda for tuning in and making her contribution to our network. We start off generally by saying, you know, we're supposed to have a guest, and I don't know if he's going to chime in, Damian Goodman out of Lemur Park, but he hasn't responded to our calls. But, you know, people be busy, you know, activists be busy, you know. So we would appreciate it if you do tune in. But in the meantime, we're going to have a community forum. There's so much going on, so much dealing with us as a people from Sudan, the war in Sudan, and the refugees that are being going through changes, as well as other activist activities throughout the community. We're going to start off by asking people in the roundtable discussion and think tank, what's good? What good news they have about African people, black people? What is going on that's good? You hear everybody has, throughout our history, demonized us like we ain't doing nothing. Even got us convinced, some black people convinced that we ain't doing nothing, and they demonize themselves. It's called self-hating. Just not studying yourself and not counting your victories and being grateful for your victories and grateful for the outstanding students that are graduating from colleges. Rasha Key and his wife just told me two of their grandchild and their daughter graduating from college. And at the same time, many of you have good news in your family and about black people. And so I'm going to start off with Sister Linda. Linda, what's going on in Florida? Your daughter just went to a conference, working with her and her making her multi-dynamic and multi-skill. So Linda, how's everything going in Florida?
Everything's going fine. But I do just want to say what I'm doing is I'm having the Black Authors Virtual Book Fair coming up in October. So if anybody has any, know if you're an author or write your book, you have time to finish writing at least the manuscript, hint, 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 so you can put it in the Black Authors Virtual Book Fair coming up in October. Or if you know a Black author, please let me know and I'll send them the information because I'm getting the authors now and the schools and the universities that we're going to be putting the black, who we're going to be marketing it to. So Rasha Key, you probably have a book in your spirit somewhere, I'm sure. We need you to back off this virtual book fair. And I know you know a lot of authors with all that information and your poetry and everything. When we're going to see your book.
All right. But
we're working on it, Sister Linda. We're working on it.
Like I said, I don't even have a manuscript, so it's time for us to get it published so we can market it to the world, not just the United States. I have a school system in Ghana that I'm trying to get the contact with. Well, not the contract, that's what I'm trying to say. So we're going to market it to them and even in London and anywhere else I can find somebody who has a school that we can get the books into their hands of our black people all across the country and out around the globe. So yeah, that's what's going on with me, Professor Ra.
But you also were the subject of a great art that's being sold at the Black Bookstore in Long Beach and online. Tell us about that art and your words on it and who made that art and featured your commentary on the art.
Oh, well, thank you.
And then at the same time, would you, emailed it to Rasha Key so he could post it because it's a classic.
Well, I do that too because I don't know how to do it on my phone, but I'm going to send that to you this evening. But thank you for remembering that. And I'm just so proud because Akin Sanya, he took the information, the poster that was written and drawn by this artist and who's passed in the last couple of years. But Akin Sanya, in his brilliance, he brought color to it. And so I'm honored that Akin Sanya and Tony Carmichae put it together for me and put my words on it.
What were your words?
It's a salute to the black woman who is the roots of our past, the wisdom of our present, and the, oh goodness, I know it too. Oh, what it is, it's a poster now that Tony Carmichae drew while I was speaking. And he took my words and gave me the credit for putting it on the on a poster. And he passed years afterwards. And I had to end up buying it off of eBay for $50, even though my name is on it. And now they have it in a bookstore. They have it in an art gallery, in an African store in Long Beach. It's called The Hidden Treasures by Max Veltz. And she owns it. And so they're selling it now as a poster.
All right, that's good.
And Akin Sanya, he I put his color to it, and it's beautiful. He brought beauty to life, I'm telling you.
All right. So that's beautiful. Thanks, Linda. Go ahead.
I'm going to email you a copy of it. so you can see it.
All right. Brother Mashinda, how's Louisiana?
Oh, Louisiana is Louisiana. You know,
Good
you
news
know,
from the sound.
well, you know, yeah, there's always good news. You know, I was involved in the signing day today. Young high school students who graduated from college, you know, they had National Signing Day today where students pick the universities and colleges that they want to go to. And some of them going to the military, but I was a part of that. And, you know, it was good to be a part of that community event. It was, you know, it's a school that's mostly brothers and sisters that's there. And, you know, like I say, I was happy to be there. A lot of them are going to different colleges, mostly going to Louisiana colleges. And so, like I say, that was something positive. Something I read about in L.A., down your way, you know, they opened up that Children and Family Center, you know, after that Jackie Avant, you know, that was killed in that home invasion. The brother, Clarence Avant's wife, the spouse, the music executive, but her sister, her daughter helped her open, help, you know, put it together. She's a former activist and I think ambassador, national ambassador from the United States, U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas, actually, Nicole Avant. You know, she was a part of that. Her mama was a big activist and philanthropist. And so they opened up a 50,000 square foot building with three floors. And I believe this summer, two of the floors will be open to the public for people to go in. And, you know, so I thought I'd share that as well.
78th in Vermont. On 78th in Vermont.
May I please ask him the question? What's the name of that college that you were talking about in Louisiana?
No, I was at a high school, actually. It's National Signing Day, you know, so it's not one college, it's multiple colleges. You know, you got kids that are going to, you know, various universities within Louisiana. I don't think any of them were going outside the state. They try to promote the children to stay within the state to build the economy, you know.
And, I apologize, but I was going to ask you, do you know of any of the schools in Louisiana that have a BSU? Because that's one state I had not tapped into yet.
Oh, yeah. Probably most of them have Black student unions. But, you know, Dillard University, Xavier University, those are, you know, historically Black colleges. So I'm sure they have students going there, you know. So those are two. But also, you know, Southeastern Louisiana University, Southern University,
yes.
You know. Grambling, of course, but yeah, you have
Doug.
A lot of.
Is Doug Williams still down in at Grambling?
No, I don't think so.
No.
But thank you for putting it in my spirit, though, because I forgot about Louisiana. Thank you.
Right then, brother Jay Edwards. You got good news about Black people? Are you there, Jay? Okay. The good doctor. You got any good news about Black people?
Hey, only good news I got is about you, Professor Ra. I heard you on Carl Nelson, man, and you went on with that gun thing, man, how you talked about it, told what the history was and why it's like that, man. That's the best news I heard all week, man. How you ran it down to him.
All right. I appreciate that, brother. I just got out the hospital and you know, me and Carl are real close. He helped me with the Ron Sellers case. And he had me on every now and then. And he called and asked me to be on. And it was nice. It was nice. It was good questions people had. And I'm glad you heard a good doctor. Because the European, people want to know why they need guns. That's their culture. They always created weapons. You know, the Indians said they had the long knife. And it's for domination, deprivation, and degradation culture. That's what they're about. People don't want to see that. Some of them, not all of them, but enough of them to that the ones that are not actively in the violence and in the efforts to dominate and degradate and deprivate the people and exploit them, but they benefit from it even though they're not in it. And the whole reason why they have these guns, as we were saying on Carl Nelson, was because it's not for what people think, to protect themselves and about their constitutional right. They want to be able to fight their own government that may be changing their role as white supremacists. And all those killings are just collateral damage. You can tell by the way that they have militias. And when they went into the Civil War, they fought each other. When they went into the Revolutionary War, they fought each other over lifestyle and over their conception of they will be dominant, even though they are a minority everywhere. You understand, especially on the planet. And as Francis Chris Wilson said, that's the big equalizer, the weapons. So they have they sell weapons all over the world, and they are always researching, coming up with more weapons. And their whole concept is to stay as white supremacists. The whole purpose of the weapons is to keep them supreme and no other people or whatever. And so anyway, that's what that was about, that discussion with Carl. Brother Jimbrick, you have any good news? Okay. Yes, sir.
No, sir, not really. Just listen. I ain't got no good news. I wish I had some to share.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to say, oh, yeah. Brother Rashiki, what about you?
Well, I just want to piggyback on what you were saying earlier. We do have good news here in the family. We have the oldest grandson graduating from college, getting a degree in finance. Mm. We also have our daughters, second to the youngest daughter graduating from college. Her major is political science, and she decided to teach. So she'll be enrolling in a credential program, and I'm going to encourage her to also do the master's along with it. Mm. So we're progressing in the education field as a family, and it's all under the directions of all of our elders, like yourself, Professor Ra, Brother Mashinda, my brother Reggie, my parents and my wife. You know, all of our kids are aspiring educational pursuits. So it's a good thing, and we want to continue the learning and spreading the learning so we can become a better people or a better, you know, Earth. So that's what we're about.
Okay. That's good. And your great grandson,
he's a grandson.
Yeah, he's a great grandson. He has scholarship in football.
Yes, he
graduated with his class on time. You know.
Then he's gonna pursue his master's degree in finance. So, okay. And he has another year to play football. So I know he's excited about that. And can I just share something real quick? Anybody that wants to hear the interview I did with Sister Naiji, which is my daughter, they can go to the Community Education Network, and we did an interview with her, and it went real well. So you can get that on the channel. Mm-hmm. All right, Professor Ra.
Okay. All right. First of all, I want to say everything everybody said was excellent because it's important. Brother, that's Amoya Fumi.
That's Sister Making It Happen.
Sister Making It Happen. You there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Greetings, family. Yes, sir. I am here.
We're starting off with good news about Black people and news from the front line. Frontline is what we're doing in protests and resistance. The good news is examples of excellence that and achievement of Black people. You have any good news or any news from the front line?
I'm going to think about it and come back. But I want to say the good news is that we're all here. So that's good news. And we're all on this side of the dirt. And that's even better news. And, you know, things are moving along well. I have a child who's graduating from high school this year. So that's good news. And she attends Carson High School, and her school did a senior signing day this weekend, which was exciting. All the kids that got accepted to university and colleges were able to sign and celebrate with their families, their achievements. And then the university, Cal State University Dominguez Hills, did a follow-up event on the Saturday where it was a bigger festival for all the students that got accepted to university, and they had a college fair and a resource fair. So that's some local good news and some good news that I want to share.
All right, good, good. Everybody was excellent. I just want to say, start off by saying that we lost one of our great soldiers in the movement for civil rights and Black power. That's Brother Harry Belafonte. We got to give thanks and appreciate his contribution towards civil rights and Black consciousness, as well as speaking out about injustices toward Black people from South Africa to Haiti to all the, many of the islands in the Caribbean, as well as working on immigration of Black people from the islands, as well as speaking out and walking with Martin Luther King, standing with Martin Luther King, encouraging other actors and entertainers. He even worked with Paul Robeson. So we always want to appreciate those that dedicated their lives. You know, all seasoned soldier, who, you know, would not stop working until, you know, victory was in his sight, and made a great contribution to us. So may all the good he brought in the world last forever, may none be lost. And at the same time, we appreciate those that sacrificed for us in service and in his recognition. And he he made America better. He was a very serious critic of America, you know. So we want to be thankful for the good he brought in the world. Second, we want to talk about the LA Los Angeles Commission on Reparations that met last Saturday at the African American Culture, African American Museum, to have an open forum to get input from the community to determine what type of reparations that they want to claim from Los Angeles. As you know, Illinois, one of the cities in Illinois, they gave Black people $25,000 that lived in that city toward home buying. And so the struggle continues. People say, they ain't gonna never give us nothing. Well, you know, we want a national, and we want the United States government to pay reparations, and we want to get meetings on it and organize it. But, you know, they're tidbits here. Even Georgetown are letting Black people come to school free for registration and things of that nature, paying people for registration. And there are other efforts by Black people to demand reparations, but the LA Commission, headed by Attorney Lawson, Michael Lawson, and his sister, Keisha Akasha, Jones, and they had a good meeting. I heard. I didn't get a chance to go because I, like I said, I had some health issues, and so. But at the same time, it was well attended, and they had this is just for Los Angeles. This is not the California Reparation Commission. This is the Los Angeles Reparation Commission. We want to commend Attorney Lawson and Sister Keisha Jones. Hansa Jones for their efforts in organizing, and they were appointed to be a part of the commission. And the other one is in Florida, from the front line. They had a statewide demonstration, Linda, protesting the governor's position on the LGBTQ community, but they also included the AP classes that he's wiping out of Black study courses. They included that as well, and a number of other things. This was a statewide demonstration. Students walked out, okay, protest. And I don't think they'll be voting for him again.
Hope not.
Yeah, so that was great. And Joe, man, we had good news in the NFL draft. They drafted at least three or four quarterbacks. And the first time a Black quarterback, number one, then number two, the brother from Ohio and the brother from Alabama. And at the same time, although those were red state where they can play football for them, but they can't vote. I mean, they get voter suppression and redlining, so they exploited it. That's what really I was supposed to go on to Carl Nelson and talk about, the exploitation of Black athletes, but he switched it to guns, so that was good. So that was off the cuff. But anyway, I think the first seven players were Black. And now, the reason that's good, because as Joe could tell you, one of the first Black quarterbacks in the 70s was Shaq Harris. But most Black quarterbacks that came out of college were converted to wide receivers or some other position. They didn't let Black people in the NFL play quarterback or play middle linebacker or center. Whoever handled the ball the most, they didn't trust Black people. But that was just great from the standpoint of changing the landscape and the concept of what a quarterback is. They got to be more athletic. They got to be able to run. And many of them getting multi-million-dollar contracts. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, this other Watson. All these brothers making hundreds of millions of dollars playing and change the whole concept of quarterback, of what a quarterback is, that old stale stuff dropping back and throwing. No, you got to be able to do more than that. You got to be able to run, and you got to be able to block. You got to be able to just think about the game in a different way. And they're adding a lot of color to it. So we want to commend them, brother, for being a part of Black excellence with regards to that in the NFL draft. The other thing is April, the month of April was recognition of another soldier, all-season soldier, Randall Robinson. Randall Robinson, who started Trans Africa, who helped with Air Star from Haiti when they kidnapped him and took him to South Africa, him and Maxine Waters, and with the advocacy of Dr. Karenga and others, went and got him because they were going to assassinate him in South Africa. He was the voted president of Haiti. And America wouldn't recognize it because he spoke out against America and their exploitation of the resources in Haiti. So he was democratically elected. They outlawed his party. And, he was speaking out against Haiti's paying reparations to France for their liberation. And the reason they paid that, the president of Haiti's at that time signed the agreement to pay reparations was because America and France put up a blockade. In order to get the blockade down, they agreed to pay millions of dollars, billion for France being ran out of Haiti. But anyway, that's a long different story. But we want to thank Randall Robinson for all his work with Trans-Africa, all the boycotts he called. He's the one that helped get Nelson Mandela out of prison. His brother was Max Robinson, used to be a news commentator on ABC. He was an anchor man. But at the same time, we want to thank Brother Randall Robinson for his contributions and his national recognition, international recognition of dealing with Africa, working with the OAU and working with educating us here. And he's the one that really pushed reparation with the book, The Debt, talking about America's debt to Black people. Classic reading, Brother Doctor, that we need to bring forth for the young people. They really don't know who these people are, and they need to deal with it from that standpoint. We also want to talk about today with regards to the climate change and the effect it's having on the environment. And the environment is where everybody lives, the earthly environment. And climate change is a critical area because of pollution and because of that you see all these weathers that's affecting people in Louisiana, Mississippi, and New Orleans, you know, deep in the South. It just had a storm and tornadoes and things of this nature. So I just wanted to see what you think we can do from a Black perspective of educating our children to the issue of climate change. Brother Jabal, when he was here, he talked about it a little bit. You understand that the guys depleting the earth, destroying the earth out of greed. And the activism that we need to get involved in. So, anybody have any comments on that? Just making it happen. How do you think we can contribute to trying to stop the we can't correct it. I mean, what's done is done. The season, you know, summer is winter, and winter is summer, and spring is.
Rephrase the question again, so I can get a better understanding. Can you rephrase the question?
Yeah, the question is, you know, what can we do as a people to keep from contributing to the depletion and the destruction of the earth? This is where we live, on earth. You understand? And I know some Africans are trying to, I mean, some Europeans are trying to go to space, but you're already in space. This is space. The earth is in space. You understand? Ain't nothing up under the earth. It's in a solar system. So just to making it happen, what do you think about climate change? Or have you thought about it?
Yeah, I'm a natural kind of person, and I love the earth. The earth is our mother, and we must take care of her, you know? And so I think one of the things I see people doing now among our people is trying to live off the grid and reduce some of their, you know, carbon prints and the prints that they're leaving. You know, we're kind of wrapped up in this a lot. So we have a lot of work to do to for the earth to kind of replenish itself. But I think just taking our habits and trying to reduce some of the unnecessary use of the things that are, you know, causing some of the damage. But it's definitely something that we need to make at the forefront of our family discussions, because our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they're going to be here dealing with the mess that, you know, some of us cause. So it's an important topic. And we have to take care of the earth, planting some trees. I know one year when I was at the high school, I partnered up with a science teacher, and we did a tree planting where the kids, because they knew how much waste that they used, they went out in the community and they planted trees in the Compton community. So that made me proud that the young people are thinking about giving back.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Linda, what about you and climate? You there, Linda? All right, Mashinda, you want to start with climate?
Well, I just concur with Sister Making It Happen. You know, I kind of have those same sentiments and ideas about that. You know, I think as a people, you know, we have to, you know, learn to respect, you know, the climate, the nature. You know, I know people, you know, the litter, you know, littering, people don't have respect for the basic environment around them, you know, and it's not everybody, you know, but I know I go around the community in my neighborhood with a litter picker and pick up trash and things like that. So it's a lot, you know, so I think education, you know, creating, making that part of a, you know, a component in the meeting or in the, you know, in the, like you're having it right now in the podcast, you know, talking about climate change. I think it's a great topic, but you know, for people to gain the basic knowledge of what's going on, you know, you mentioned, you know, down here in the South, man. Yeah. You know, we have some very dangerous, tornadoes and weather systems that happen down here. I mean, it's nothing new under the sun. It's been happening for a long time, but it seems like these storms are getting, you know, a little more severe. You know, but again, nature, you know, it's one thing, you know, when the ocean is hot, you know, when the Gulf is really, really hot or warm, you know, that makes for a very explosive storm, you know, during these, you know, we have hurricane season starts June 1st. It's right, it's next month, 30 days from now, we're going into hurricane season. And I just say from a preventative and preparation standpoint, understand that, you know, what could happen. I mean, I've been a victim of, you know, hurricane and tornadic weather in the past, more than once, and had some severe damage to my house at one time back during Hurricane Katrina. And so I know that there's a lot of reports that talk about, you know, this climate change and different things like that, you know. So all I can do is, you know, when the alarm goes off, you know, I have to, you know, seek, you know, safer ground. And so I think from a safety standpoint, you know, being aware, but sometimes, you know, it'll be too late, you know. So, I mean, there's at least a warning that you can, you know, get out the way of, you know, certain areas that are going to have projected bad weather. You know, so that's one good thing, but still, you know, but I guess getting conscious about this issue and basically, you know, when we put these legislators in place, you know, that take away money or add money to this or that, you know, being at the, you know, having a voice at the table, I think that's important, but the community has to be educated on it. And I think this is a good, you know, start in place to get some of that done. And, so, but I don't have any more to say right now. You know, good stuff.
Well, good doctor, the earth is sick. What is your remedy for it?
All I can say, man, is just the climate. Anything that affects anything, it always affects us the most. You name any topic, it's going to affect us the most as Black people. About it, man. That's it. The only thing, you know, it's on the TV all the time. I just noticed this one with their, they're saying there's a hole in the bottom of the ocean floor oozing up some kind of liquid. So they're expecting a 9+ earthquake on the Cascadia Fault from Canada down to San Francisco. I know that's a hot topic now. I've been watching on these little channels, man. They've got this big hole in the ocean floor. It's not water coming out of it. It's some kind of oil or lubricant or something there. They're saying, man, it's going to, and, you know, that's going to affect Black people more than anybody else. So, you know, just like what's my man name here? Oh, comedian George Carlin. You know, man, when, you know, he once said, hey, you know, we've been hit by earthquakes. I mean, we've been hit by asteroids, meteorites, earthquakes, tornadoes, man. And, you know, we're still here, you know. You know, we're going to have it, you know, whatever happens, happens. It's going to happen. It's just nature. Like Shin said, just nature, man. Just unfortunately, we always get the, you know, the bad end of it.
Yeah, okay. Brother Rasha T.
Education. Find out ways that you can contribute to reversing of the what's going on. They have plenty of information out. They have plenty of people who are protesting, and, you know, just tons and tons amount of education on what you could do to help fight against the climate change, even though, you know, things are not certain. But there's, you know, plastic recycling, you know, don't use many plastics. If you can, buy electrical vehicle, you know, just things that you're able to do to contribute to a more healthier earth. That's what I think people can do. Not only Black people, but other people also. But yeah, just become more aware of the climate. And as Brother Joe say, you know, go to nature. Start going to nature to do things. And I think things will probably be better for us.
Brother Hembry, are you there?
Yeah, brother, I'm here.
How do you think we can deal with this climate change from a Black perspective?
Well, you know, we don't control none of the industries that contribute largely to it. So, but you can work around where you live, ride a bike, walk, you know, dispose of the waste and stuff properly. Instead of throwing a paint can in the trash can, take it down to paint recycling place along with the, you know, those hazardous cleaning materials. You know, take them to the proper places. I was looking at 60 Minutes yesterday, and they were recycling carbon dioxide, putting it down in the earth, snatching it out of the air and putting it down in the earth, and it turns into something like steel down there. But they say they, I guess this was in Sweden, and they're building some more of those factories in Europe. And even with the building of all of those, they don't know if it's gonna, you know, save the planet in time. I would say, you know, to beat some of the things, you can start your little garden box. You don't need to have a plot of ground like I have. You can grow stuff in a box. Get you some soil, you know, get two or three boxes and, you know, grow you some food and like that. Another thing that's very harmful to the environment is burning this charcoal. You know, Black people love barbecuing. Might try to find another means of doing that, because the charcoal contributes to, you know, the climate change and the environment. So that's about all I can think of. Also, when I was talking to Brother, this is for Brother Mashinda. I was part of that 60 Minute segment last night. They had a thing on women. You know, minority women that's going through paternity down in Louisiana, and the high death rate that they have due to, you know, being so far away from hospitals and whatnot. And it's really large amongst the Black and brown, but it's really large. There's a large number of women dying you know, during fraternity. That was an interesting show. You know, we might, they need to increase the number of, what do you call them, midwives and whatnot, because they don't have enough doctors around. And then aftercare with the sisters after they have the babies, the exercise and whatnot. That was a pretty good show last night. So hopefully we can improve.
Yeah, you're right. It was very interesting.
Huh?
I was in agreement with you because I watched. It was very interesting.
Very interesting. So, you know, just doing a little tidbit, but if we can just change what's going on between our ears, is the biggest battle, in my opinion. And I've spoken on it numerous times. You know, we suffer from.
And can I add something to you? Said it's a totally different direction, but when you were talking about the smoke, the grills outside and everything, what about like a smokeless grill? And that's a whole nother direction, but it's healthier eating also. And it kind of saves the climate.
Well, whatever works, I'm not all into that because I'm a charcoal person myself. I used to barbecue all the time, but I haven't done it that often in years. So that's a fight for someone who knows, but, you know, like every weekend we out there at the parks. I just know that contributes to the thing as far as electric cars go. Tesla, if you buy an electric car, please do not buy a Tesla.
They Why?
Treat us like we still on the plantation. Articles and suits going on against Tesla and how they treat the black employees. Outrageous. They even got a section of the plant that they call the plantation.
Really? Wow.
The dirtiest work. It was about 3-4 months ago in the LA Times. These black people were suing Tesla behind the treatment of black people. And some of the bad treatment was coming even from Latinos treating blacks real bad. But they had the section that's the dirtiest job on the plant is what they call a plantation. And that's where they send the black people to work. If anybody complains, they end up getting fired and stuff like that. So, you know, that Tesla, that stuff needs to be pointed out about how they treat especially black employees.
Okay, that's excellent, Joe. Thanks for bringing that up. Brother, Sister Linda, did you have anything to say about the environment?
Oh, no. Everything's already been said.
All right, then. Brother Rashidi? Oh, you already spoke, Rashidi?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me just say a few things. First of all, this should be a very serious priority among us as a people, especially black people. As Brother Doctor was saying, you know, the climate is affecting us even more than most people. Most people are not unaware of it. They got certain areas that they call Cancer Alley that's affecting black people on this planet. Where at Jordan High School, they had a company that was in LA that they had to shut down with students protesting because of the pollution and things of this nature. But let me say this. We up against a monster who, as Joe was saying, and the industries and things of this nature. That's one thing. But what we can do in our little struggle to contribute to slowing down the climate and changing if we can, first of all, we can educate ourselves and then ask the school to make that a required class for kids throughout their education, from elementary all the way up through college, that's a requirement because it's a life and death situation and struggle about climate change. there's so much resistance to it by the white right wing that, you know, it ain't such thing as something people making up. And as long as China is using coal, we got to use it. They're going to outperform us and things, outperform America. And they, you know, so it really ain't existing. These people are in denial, regardless of the earth, of the hurricanes, the weather changes and all that. Greed. That's all they want about money, 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 money. And they don't care what happened to the earth. You know, this guy that just killed buffaloes and just put their head on a wall. You know, the bison, you don't see. There was a time when we grew up, you saw bumblebees and butterflies, pretty butterflies, white ones, red ones, all kinds, little brown ones that we used to catch. And flowers used to grow wild. You can walk on the beach, and the beach water was blue. You could see the blue in the water. You can't see it no more. Matter of fact, they give you notices. They got a disease that the fish are catching in the ocean called plasticitis or something. There's so much plastic in the ocean that the fish and the sea animals are eating it, and they open them up, and they sick with plastic. So what we can do? Well, you know, first of all, we can start throwing stuff away properly, you know. But they, you know, that's very important, you know, that we clean up behind ourselves and put it in the disposable situations that you make sure that it's not going to the ocean and not going into the streets and things of that nature. And you can teach your kids that. You know, hey, look, this is affecting the environment. You think all it is somebody going to come around and pick it up for you, or a street sweeper or something like that. But that all that affects the environment. Right now, the schools are concentrating on just testing. But as far as teaching about the climate, they don't even have a class. I don't know, Roger P. Lucentian, he don't have a class on climate change.
They may discuss it in certain classes. I know.
But it's not a requirement for graduation.
No, it's no. It would be a part of probably one of the social studies classes. They may have discussions about it, or a teacher may teach a lesson pertaining to climate change, or probably to one of the science classes. That's a good question to ask. I can ask around.
Yeah, but I've not heard of anyone offering a class requiring college students or other students. And it's that major of a problem. And the reason it's not because they can't do it. It's because they don't want to do it, the curriculum, because this industry prospers, this country prospers on people ignorant. They sold our parents cigarettes and knew it was giving them cancer. You could imagine what kind of food they selling with additives. There were the people that just recently found a hamburger in the wall, the original McDonald's hamburger, and it was still preserved. People talked about sometimes they put the meat out and it don't change. It don't change. There's so much preservatives in it. Now that's a whole new different thing. And we talking about health there, but we talking about health now with the climate. So one thing we can start arguing and organizing and encouraging parents and others to ask school to make that a requirement. You know, how to cut down on climate change. The other thing, one of the biggest contributors to climate destruction is cars, exhaust systems. You know, in LA, when it rains, if you go outside, you can see the mountains and snow caps and everything. But on a smoggy day, you can't see. You can't see LA. You can't see Palos Verdes. You know, you're less than 10, 30, 20, 30 miles away because of the smog. Smog, people who don't smoke get lung cancer in California because of so many cars. So the transition, you know, they're trying to give electric buses and electric this, and as Joe say, they're dangerous. And there's a lot of racial discrimination. Well, you're going to find racial discrimination in almost every industry. Some admit it, some don't. You know, there's only two types of races, them that admit it and them that don't.
Professor Rock.
Yes.
Sister Making It Happen said that they offer environmental science classes. Sister Making It Happen, is that in high school or college?
That's a high school, and it's usually like an elective. I don't think it's required. Like Professor Amirbra is saying, it's not a requirement. You basically choose it.
And a lot of students don't choose it. You know, I mean, if it's an elective, I mean, unless there's a teacher, and we don't know what the curriculum is. In other words, environment, you know, they just, sometimes they just talk about the different environments and the, you know, different rocks and different this and different that. But I'm talking about dealing with the urgency of educating people about climate change. I'm not saying environmental classes aren't good, but I'm talking about just talking about what people should know about the climate changes and what they can do personally to cut down on the contribution to it. Like Joe said, people barbecue. They have tailgating up at these football games, and they do all that smoking and smoking cigarettes as well as smoking meat, you understand? And those are things that we can do. Second thing that's very important is that we can contribute to or organize movements to try to deal with political power to change, and don't vote for people who are not supportive of climate change or programs for climate change. That should be a part of the political movement. But right now, people are voting for people who are talking about going back, and we need oil. We want to dig back in the ocean, regardless of ocean spills. All of those things that we need to focus on, as well as racism, of course, that you never stop, and reparations, all of that. Yeah, I'm for that too. But it don't do no good if we all become extinct because of them putting holes in the ozone in the air, and all of us walking around with masks and oxygen tanks because the oxygen is being sucked up. Those are things that we have to look at. And a lot of people don't want to pay no attention to it. You know, people want to live their normal lives like there ain't no problem out there. But that's a serious problem, climate change. And we need to begin to take it serious. And Linda was talking about her virtual book fair. Somebody needs to write about it and discuss it on these talk shows. I mean, we're talking about police killings and things of this nature, and that we need to do that. I'm not saying cut that out, no. But I am saying be inclusive of what's going to affect all of us. Because the climate is not discriminatory. Carnegie Woodson, I mean, not Carnegie Woodson, the potato man and peanut butter man, peanut.
Washington Carver.
George Washington Carver. He said once, you know, he was a serious environmentalist. He said, if you take care of the environment, it'll tell you its secrets. It'll talk to you. And that's how he, you know, got into it, creating all those plants into food, into, you know, what you have today. But the point is that we need to begin to study, as Mashinda would say, and as he was bringing it out, and began to think about it. You know, what can we do? What are the pillars that we can do as far as educating ourselves so we know what we're talking about? You know, you don't just take it from the news and, you know, the oppressor can't be your teacher. You understand? I mean, they're the ones that's causing the climate change. And it's a worldwide problem. It's not just America. You know, Europe, China, you know, Japan, all these places, Russia, you know, all of them are contributing to it. Now, we can't stop them, but we can be an example that may inspire them to want to change too, because it's going to affect them. They're having problems with weather also, droughts, and they're all over in Africa because there's no restrictions. There's no regulations. So they go and they set up industries in foreign countries, not just to get cheap labor, but to get around environmental rules that they have here, a regulation. So we need to really focus on climate change and make it a part of our discussions. And I hope that we have more discussions on our platform about what we can do and new ideas, teaching our children to, you know, not to waste things and not to contribute to throwing things out the window and putting it in the streets and going to the beach and leaving your plastic sodas out there and your trash and your cell phone plastic that you have food in and just leaving it out there. And then it gets washed up into the ocean. And, you know, those are the things that we need to begin to focus on. Any response? All right, Rasha P, take us on in.
All right. Well, on Wednesday, we have Brother DX coming back. Let me show you that. Here we go. So we have another show on music. So the topic is hip-hop music frequency shift. So that the music is very powerful and it influences us when we listen to it, all people. So that should be very interesting. And hopefully we get the guy Damian Goodman next week. Right, Ra? If we can.
Well, if he comes, fine. We're going to be looking for another guest for next week. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay. Well, it's been real, like always, and we're going to take our pause. Each one teach one, Conscious Corner.
I just want to say it was good to have the good doctor here. He's such a beautiful spirit, an uplifting spirit, Brother Mashinda, Brother Hendrick, and then Sister Making It Happen will be on Thursday talking about something.
Well, I think she's going to be on Sister Making It Happen.
No, I'm going to be on Wednesday the 10th. We're going to have a discussion around mother and honoring our mothers because we're coming into Mother Day season.
Okay, yeah, she's going to be a guest a week from Wednesday.
On
the CEN show.
Yeah, it's my grandson's birthday. Okay.
The 10th?
Yes, so that's what we have on the schedule. Your Money Matters will start up again probably in June or July. I'm working on my schedule now.
And, you know, they're really pushing economic literacy, especially with these banks folding systems. Yeah. Making it.
Yes, sir.
You know, and so that's very critical that you are bringing that up because they're talking about financial literacy all over the country.
Yes, sir.
Need it, you know, so let's deal with it.
going. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Professor Rod, your birthday is not on the 10th?
No, mine is on the 12th.
Oh, you're the 12th. All right. All right.
He's 75.
75? What is that? Is that silk?
75. 7 plus 5 is 12. So, you know, it's all 12. Good. Your Diamond's birthday is the 12th.
What's that?
Your Diamond.
Oh, Diamond. Okay. Excellent. All right. Excellent. All right.
Thank
each one.
Everybody for making this program great by y'all attendance. And it'll be on YouTube. And we get a lot of hits. And we're making a difference. And if you have a subject you want to talk about, please let us know. And our issue or concern, like Sister making it happen, say, hey, we're going to deal with financial literacy. Like Sister Linda is talking about her virtual book fair. I mean, we talk about these things, the importance of reading, the importance of, you know, they used to say, if you want to hide something from Black people, put it in a book. You know, I mean, that used to be the saying. So, you know, those things. And you know, y'all see so much. You know, be aware of so much. And we invite y'all to make a contribution. All right. Brother Ross.
All right. Each one teach one. Conscious Corner. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Good night.
Good night.